As we tend to romanticize the Nativity of Jesus in anticipation of our Christmas celebrations, we might ponder the simple fact that becoming human like us, Jesus became vulnerable to physical weakness, human illness, and disabilities. We might also do well to think about how people who are sick or somehow severely disabled, or perhaps deeply troubled by depression or other emotional problems, experience Advent and Christmas. They may find it difficult to embrace the Christmas spirit the way most folks do. Somehow, I think the experience of the sick at holiday time may be more in tune with the miracle of the Incarnation. Recently, I came across a book, Let Me Go to the Father's House, recently published by Pauline Books and Media. It features Pope John Paul II's Strength in Weakness. The authors are Cardinal Gibish, the Pope's longtime secretary and friend, his personal physician, and the Vicar General of Vatican City. It is not surprising that a review of the late Holy Father's life, his preaching, his writings, reveal an impressive and extensive focus on the sick, the elderly, the handicapped, and the helpless. A substantial part of the meaning of the Incarnation of Christ has to do with weakness and suffering. It provides an opportunity for understanding by people who are ill. In one of his talks in 1982, Pope John Paul said, "The sick, the elderly, the handicapped, and the infirm teach us that weakness is a creative part of human life, and that suffering can be accepted without the loss of dignity. The wisdom of Christ and the power of Christ are visible in the weakness of those who participate in his sufferings." End of quotation. A substantial part of the meaning of suffering embraced by the ill, the elderly, and the emotionally disabled among us is the fact that through their sacrifices the whole church is strengthened, and the witness of truth and love goes out to the whole world. In his powerful letter on the sacrifices of suffering, Sacrifici Doloris, John Paul wrote, "The person in the wheelchair is just as necessary for the world as the engineers who build bridges, houses, or spacecrafts. The suffering person is serving like Christ the salvation of his sisters and brothers. Therefore, he is carrying out an irreplaceable service in the body of Christ, which is ceaselessly born of the cross of the Redeemer. It is precisely suffering permeated by the spirit of Christ's sacrifice that is the irreplaceable mediator and author of the good things which are indispensable for the world's salvation. It is suffering more than anything else which clears the way for grace, which transforms human souls. Suffering more than anything else makes present in the history of humanity the powers of redemption." Close quotations. Pope John Paul spoke of suffering as a vocation. He asserted that the suffering Christ addresses every suffering person with the words, "Follow me." He reminded us that as a suffering person gradually unites one's own cross with that of Jesus, he or she discovers the deepest meaning of suffering and transforms it, he said, into a creative force. Together they save the world. In this way, suffering makes possible a special kind of contact with God and becomes prayer. In his letter on suffering, the late Holy Father focuses suffering as a visitation from God, granted in order to give birth to works of love toward neighbor in order to transform the whole of human civilization into a civilization of love. Well, now, what does all this have to do with Advent and the coming of Christmas 2006? The life and teaching of Pope John Paul II reminds us that if joined to Christ, the world of human suffering opens the way to the world of human love. The full impact, the reality of the birth of Jesus as God becoming man, was to establish a new world order in which a civilization of love might take form. I suggest that a meditation on the realism of the human dimension of Christ's incarnation is a rich resource for our Advent prayer. This is especially true for those among us who identify with Christ's embrace of human suffering with us and for us in a particular way. But it is not only true for the sick. An intentional part of the Christmas spirit is our shared responsibility to be with our infirm, elderly, and disabled neighbors. It is not right to pass them by, the Pope taught. In the spirit of Christmas giving, in the spirit of generous sacrifice, we should take upon ourselves a part of their burden. No one should carry his or her infirmary to the crib of Jesus alone.